minutes for prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy great name. We thank you for your many blessings to us. Thank you for the beautiful Sabbath day. We ask that you forgive us of our sins and send your Holy Spirit to be with us this morning as we read and study your word. Bless us and help us to have a home in heaven with you soon. In Jesus' holy name we ask these things. Thy will be done, Almighty Father. Amen. Well, we're up to Revelation chapter 4 in our study of the book of Revelation. Chapters 4 and 5 are very interesting chapters. A lot of neat things here. Little glimpse into the happenings in heaven. John saw a picture of God's throne room, the command center for the entire universe. If you think about it as operating from right here, what John saw, it's very interesting. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. So we know John had just been given the message to the seven churches, and he had recorded those, and then he said he saw a door open in heaven, and a voice said to him, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. So John was taken in the spirit to see these things. This is an interesting verse because some of you that haven't dealt with people who believe in the rapture a lot, this is their verse for the rapture. The door is open in heaven and it says, Come up hither, and they say that's the rapture. And it's actually taking it out of context. John was the one who was called up there to see these things. Verse 2 says, And immediately I was in the Spirit. So what's it mean? He went into a vision right then. Was he taken from earth all the way up to heaven at that moment? No, he wasn't. He was just shown a door in heaven that was open and it said, Come up and we're going to show you things. And so he says he was in the Spirit. And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. So the first thing John saw was this throne in heaven, and one sitting on it. And he begins to describe God to us in verse 3. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. So he says he saw him. I'd like to look up those stones and see exactly what they look like, but I can picture the beautiful rainbow. Have you ever seen a rainbow that actually both corners of it touch the ground? Both ends of it. Very beautiful. He describes the color or the brightness of God the Father seated there upon the throne. Verse 4 says, And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. I've seen people try to draw pictures of this, but obviously we know no one can do it justice, but the Father's throne is there, and then 24 thrones for the 24 elders that are seated there with him in heaven. And of course those 24 men that seated on those thrones, are people who lived upon the earth and were taken up to heaven. Maybe Elijah is one of them, we don't know. Everybody else would have had to have died and been resurrected and gone up with Jesus. But the 24 elders say that they were men who were redeemed from the earth. We could skip over and read it if you'll turn to chapter 5 of Revelation. In verse 9, it's talking about the 24 elders. In fact, we could start in verse 8. Revelation 5:8, it says, When he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. So the 24 elders are people who were redeemed from the earth. They were saved by the blood of Jesus. And so we know that other than Enoch and Elijah, these people would have all had to have died, and they would have been resurrected. The Bible says that when Jesus was resurrected, that there were people taken up to heaven with him. Paul says a multitude of the righteous were resurrected with him and taken up. They were the first fruits. So the 24 elders are seated here about the throne. And as we go back to chapter 4 and verse 5, it says, "And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God." So he said there were lightnings and thunders coming out of the throne. The seven lights were burning there, and he calls those the seven spirits of God. We really don't understand what those are. We may never even understand when we get to heaven. You know, that's part of God, something special. Seven is the number of completion, the perfect number, so it represents the fullness of God's Spirit. Verse 6, and it says, "And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts." And if your Bible's footnoted, you'll have a little number on the word beasts there. It actually should be translated living creatures. That word that they translated beast is a different word than the other words in Revelation where he talks about the beast or the evil one. It's a different word. This word means living creature. The other words for beast mean fiery, venomous serpent. So it says the sea of glass was there like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four living creatures full of eyes before and behind. In other words, they were covered with eyes. Verse 7 says, "The first beast was like a lion, and the second like a calf, and the third had the face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle." So there were four living creatures there at the throne, and they have this. This is what they look like. One looks like a lion, one like a calf, one like a man, and one like an eagle. Verse 8, "And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." So these four creatures, it says there, they each have six wings, and they're full of eyes. And they're there at the throne, and apparently it's their job to give praise and honor and glory to God the Father at all times. Verse 9, "And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." So that gives us a little glimpse there of the worship that's going on in heaven. It also tells us what our place is. It says that they say to him, "For thou hast created all things." So that leaves no doubt that God is the creator and he's made everything. And it says, "For thy pleasure they are and were created." So apparently the work of creation is an ongoing one, because it says they are. That means they're being created and were created. That tells us that God has made us for his pleasure. That might sound selfish to some people, but God makes things for enjoyment. He made us so we can have pleasure along the way too, but we're supposed to bring pleasure and honor and glory to God. That's what we were made for. So if we're not doing that, we're cumbering the ground, Jesus said, not doing what we should do. Chapter 5 and verse 1, we're going to study these together this morning because these two chapters kind of fit together. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with seven seals. Now this is really a scroll it's describing here. It's saying it's written within, and it was rolled up, and it was sealed with seven seals. We don't know exactly what the seals are, but I picture them as like a string or something tied around it to seal it. And the kings in the olden days used to, when they wanted to send a letter somewhere, they had people that carried their letters for them. And they would tie parchment up with string, and then they had someone there who would pour hot wax out of a candle, like onto the knot of the string. And then they would take the king's ring and push it into that hot wax, and it made it to where if anybody tried to open that parcel, that seal would be broken. And if you were a messenger and you arrived somewhere and the seal was broken on your document you were carrying, you'd be killed. You know. And so a seal represents that this was sealed up. In other words, no one in heaven could look into this book that God the Father had in his hand. Verse 3, it says, no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. So it tells us that it was a sealed book, it was closed up, and no one, John couldn't see anyone anywhere who could get to this book or look in it. Verse 4, and I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. So I don't know whether John understood what was in this book, or he was just sorrowful that no one could look into it. We're going to find out in a moment that it's actually the book of life that will have the names of everyone who's saved at the end are written inside this book. Verse 5 says, one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Of course, we know that Jesus came through the tribe of Judah, and he was called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The Root of David. There's another symbolic name for Jesus. He was the offspring of David. The Root of David hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. So that one of the elders said to John, don't cry, John, don't weep. I have good news for you. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, Jesus, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Verse 6, And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. So John doesn't say he had seen the lamb there before. Up until this time, he had seen God the Father. He saw the 24 elders. He noticed the four living creatures. And the Father was sitting there on the throne, and he had this book in his hand. And that angel in verse 2 was proclaiming to everyone, who can come and open this book? And they couldn't find anybody that could open it. So apparently this, you know, vision took a little bit of time as John was seeing it, you know, and there was a little time given there, because you wouldn't begin to weep that no one could open the book if it was just like 2 seconds and you realized someone could open the book. Apparently there was some time involved here. And the one on the throne has to be God the Father, because then John sees the Lamb, or Jesus, as it had been slain. And I believe he used those words, the Lamb. I don't think Jesus looked like a sheep in this picture. I think John recognized Jesus. The Bible says Jesus will wear the scars that he had as a result of his crucifixion throughout eternity. So I think when John saw him, once again, he recognized him, and he said, as he had been slain, he saw the wounds that Jesus had taken on here for us. And he says he had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Of course, horns are a sign of power, so seven horns would be all power. And the seven eyes, it says the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Of course, it says that Jesus had the fullness of the Spirit. Verse 7 says, he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. So he has actually proceeded up to the throne, and he took the book out of the Father's hand. Obviously, Jesus must have been worthy to open it, or the Father would not have given it to him. Verse 8 says, when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. So immediately, when Jesus took the book, the 24 elders fell down to worship him, probably all the heavenly host that was present there, because Jesus had done a great thing. He had gone to earth, lived his life out here, lived a perfect life, been resurrected, and now he was back in heaven to complete the plan of salvation. So he had done a spectacular work, and it was back there in heaven now to receive honor and to finish the job. Verse 8, we read part of it, let's read it again. When he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. So they all fell down to worship him. One note I always like to make on this verse, it says in heaven that they all have harps. A harp is a lot like a piano or something. It's a stringed instrument, and it's not a percussion type instrument. If you go back to the book of Daniel and read about what they worshiped the golden image with out there on the plains, they had all these different instruments. I believe that God's people, our voice is what's beautiful to him. It's not all the wild music that the world plays. So they strum the harps for tune, but the voice is what's beautiful to them, and that's all it says they have there in heaven is a harp. And I think our music today, we should think about that, because the drum, we know, is a violent instrument, and it was created in Africa where they worship the devil. That's where the drum was made. And I personally don't believe that certain types of instruments like that are conducive to the worship of Yahweh the Creator. He's not into that bedlam of noise that is created by some of these things that are done. So they all have their harps there. They fall down before Jesus to worship him. And verse 9 says, they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. So apparently that was the first time that song had been sung. This is like Jesus or John getting to witness Jesus' coronation, you could say, in heaven. He walked up and took the book. The heavenly host fell down to worship him and said these words to him, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, because thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. So those are very revealing words there, because that tells us that these people were not all Jews. The 24 elders didn't all come from the Israelites, the 12 tribes of Israel. This says that these men came from every kindred and tongue and people and nation. So some people have the idea that up until the time of Jesus' death, none of the Gentiles could be saved, that they were all lost. But Paul tells us that God has always respected all those people that worship him, and when he raised the 24 elders and took them to heaven, they're people from all over the earth. So maybe 2, 3, 4 of them are Jewish people that lived in Abraham's lineage, and the rest are from all the different nations of the earth, but yet they were all taken up at that time. Verse 10 says, they say, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. So it says the 24 elders are going to be kings and priests, and they are going to reign here on earth. So we know that's a future promise. That's after the 1,000 years. Jesus is coming. All the wicked will be cut down and destroyed by the brightness of his coming. The righteous are caught up to meet him on the cloud. They go to heaven for 1,000 years for the millennium. After the millennium, Jesus, it says, is going to come back down with the holy city. He's going to touch down at the Mount of Olives. It's going to become a plain. The holy city is going to sit down. We know the wicked are going to be raised then for the resurrection of damnation. They're going to be burned in the lake of fire when they go forth and attempt to take the city. And then we know God's going to recreate the new earth, and the 24 elders, it says, are going to be kings here upon the new earth when God recreates it and we live here after all these things are accomplished. Verse 11, John says, I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. John's using the largest numbers he can come up with there in the Greek to describe this group that he saw there. It was an infinite number. I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands and thousands. An innumerable company then John saw. He hadn't described any of the heavenly host till this point. He began his vision with the Father and the throne as he looked at it, and it panned out to show him the 24 elders and the living creatures. And now he sees all of heaven, the whole heavenly host there. Verse 12, they're saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. So this says that every creature which is in heaven, I think that you know, represents everything. Every living thing that God made will hear his voice and they respond to him. And when we're back in the earth made new, there won't be the fear upon the animals and the creatures that we have today. It says God put that there to keep them away from us. But there's going to be perfect harmony when everything is done. Verse 14 says, And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Now this is where we're going to stop today, but next week is a very exciting chapter also, because Jesus begins to open the seven seals on the book. He's taken the book, it's time to begin opening them. And each time one is opened, great events in the history of the church take place. And we're getting down to the end of those seals. And next week we're going to begin to study them, see exactly what's happened with them, and fit them into history. And next week's very interesting, because next week's going to bring us down to our day, the time that is at hand right now. We're not quite to the sixth seal yet. We're like in the tail end of the fifth seal. And we're going to read that next week and study it and get a clear understanding of that. So I encourage you to read chapter 6 of Revelation next week and ponder it and think about it. In fact, it's probably good to read it once every day and think about it. Get it in your mind so you understand it, or you at least are familiar with it, know what all is there. So as we study it, it'll make good sense to you. God bless you and have a good morning. We'll take about 10 minutes now and then we'll get started with our church service.